Oh, here we are. Welcome to Palm Sunday. Woohoo! You know, our theme for the month is, that's how we've never done it. Right? I'm still wrestling with that one, and the month is almost over. And today's talk is start up. Start up. Right? I imagine if we're going to do something we've never done before, right? That's right. That's the theme. That's how we've never done it. If we're thinking of doing something we've never done before, we have to start. Make sense? We have to start somewhere. We have to start. We have to start up. Now, Palm Sunday story is about that very thing, isn't it? It's the remembrance of Jesus' entrance into Jerusalem as a startup. Right? As Jewish religious pilgrims did every year, right, to celebrate Passover. They came into Jerusalem. Well, Jesus was coming, but he was going to start up something else. And it's an important story, not because it happened, because did it happen? Did it not happen? It's ancient scripture. Who knows, right? I mean, we always question that. But the story is very, very important to us. It's important to us because it's about us, right? This is the story of the evolution of humanity, really. So this is the start of Holy Week. Just like Jesus started something up when he walked into Jerusalem, we start things up in our lives, don't we? All the time. We're forever starting something up. So what do we need to when we're going to start something new? What do we need when we're starting up? We need consciousness, first of all, right? That's the big thing because that's what we say. Everything begins in consciousness. Everything begins in consciousness. So we need to start there. We start with that desire. We start by expanding our consciousness to include those things that previously were outside of our experience. Remember last week we talked about the whole sphere of acceptance, right? The sphere of availability. And the stuff that we desire a lot of times lie outside of that sphere that we live in. So what do we have to do? We have to expand our consciousness. When we expand our consciousness, we take in those things that were previously outside, and then we can experience them. So the first thing when we're attempting to do something new is we start in consciousness. We start by making it real in our own minds. The second thing we need is time, right? Time in the now, and of course time in the future to prepare properly to welcome in this new thing that we are creating. The other thing we need are tools, spiritual tools. We talk about that a lot. Spiritual tools, you got your spiritual tool belt on, everybody? We need those spiritual tools like meditation and affirmation and intention and visioning and visualization and all of those things that prepare us mentally and physically for this new undertaking. And then we need space. We need space. We need a place for this new startup to then manifest, right? It's gotta happen in the physical world somewhere, somehow. So we need space. We need to expand in our lives in order to accommodate this new thing we're about to be or become or make or demonstrate. So say you have all those things, right? You got it all together. You've expanded your consciousness, you accommodate this big, gigantic, audacious, crazy intention that you set for yourself, you have time in your schedule to devote to creating it, you've gathered together all the spiritual tools you'll need in order to prepare yourself and everything else, you've gotten the support maybe from within yourself or from others, when things are going well and when things are getting a little bumpy and challenging, and you've made space in your environment to welcome in the things or the people that you're going to need to create this new thing, this new intention that you're setting for yourself, right? It's just what Jesus did on his way into Jerusalem, right? He gathered the people around him. He did the things that he needed to do. He sent people out and got stuff together. You know, they had to go down the road, get the little colt. I mean, they did all of those things that they needed to do to get ready. This is your choice point. I'm going to start something new. I'm going to start up, maybe. Right? Do you get that sometimes? You get that like, oh, maybe, I don't know. This is our choice point. This is the point at which we go, yeah, but it's safe here. Everybody knows me here, you know? This is a good place to be. This is in my little bubble, you know? And I'm it's like Cheers, right? You know, everybody knows your name here. So starting this new thing is kind of scary. Well, and that's where Jesus was at the entrance to the city, right? You know, did he know what was going to befall him? Did he know what the future, you know? I don't know. Who knows? I don't know. But Ernest Holmes said, we cannot live a choiceless life. Every day, every moment, every second, there is a choice. And if it were not so, we would not be individuals. So we all stand at that precipice, don't we? Every time we make a new decision, every time we decide to start up, right? And when Jesus stood near the city and he overlooked the city, he wept over it, right? He recognized, well, that's what it says in the story anyway, he recognized the unforeseen things to come, including its destruction at the hands of Caesar. He looked intently in the city, and he said, if you, even you, had only recognized on this day the things that make for peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. Right? He got that. He got that this pattern was greater than he was, and he made the choice, and he walked into the city, and we know how that turned out. Well, like Jesus started his journey into the city, we must start as well and fully commit, just like that. Fully commit, just start, right? Start that new project, write that new book. Just start, because here's the thing. You're never going to be ready. Okay, but am I right? Right? You're never going to be ready. If you wait for everything to be perfect, for all your ducks to be in a row, ducks don't get in rows, by the way. Just to let you know, ducks do not get in rows. So if you're waiting for that to happen, if you're waiting for everything to be ready, if you're waiting until you have everything together, you're never going to do it. You have to start now. You'll never be ready if you're not going to just jump in and do it. You will always be a beginner at the start of anything you do. You will always be a beginner. You'll always stink at something, right? The first time you do it. It's just a given. You know, you will always create your ugly first draft. It's just the way it is. You will always be worse at something than somebody else who's been doing it for years. Right? We all want to start painting, but we all want to be Van Gogh. You know? Or we all want to start playing like Mozart. You know? We have to start right where we are. You just have to jump on that start train. And just do it. And do it really badly. You know? Just assume you're going to do it. I took curling lessons. I love curling. I'm just one of those nerds. I just love watching it in the Olympics all the time. I love curling. I love curling, a little sweeping. So Larry, for a birthday gift, gave me curling lessons, and I went up there, and I took curling lessons, and it was fabulous, but I spent most of my time on my butt, you know. It's one of those things. But it was fabulous, you know. It's just like you've got to just jump on. And just start and do it poorly, okay? You're going to do it poorly. And remember to learn from the experts, right? Look to the experts, those people that are doing it successfully and wonderfully. Look to them for inspiration. You know, here's the thing. Practice does not make perfect. We were told that, right? Practice makes perfect. Practice makes permanent, right? So if you're doing it wrong, you're going to do it wrong greatly. You want to learn from the experts who are really, really doing it very, very well. Ernest Holmes said this. He said, we must believe. We must learn how to believe. We should treat ourselves, and that's what he meant, affirmative prayer, right? That's what he meant when he said treat ourselves. We must treat ourselves until we believe. No one ever started at the top. Let us be happy to begin right where we are and grow, right? So that's what we need to do. We need to just jump in, just start, and use others, use those experts, use them as inspiration, not imitation, right? Use them as inspiration, not imitation. I remember when I first went into a ministerial school, Reverend Dr. Kathy Hearn, she was my first religious science minister in this field. People, you remember, some people know her from. I wanted to be Kathy Hearn. right? You know, it was like, oh, she was tall and she was slender and she was elegant and she always had the right words to say. And here's me, you know, and I'm like short and chubby and I've got all the right words, but they're all expletives, you know? You know? So really what happens is you come to it and you find your own way. You come to it and you find your own authenticity, right? You don't want to be a copy of somebody else. You want to be the authentic self-expressing. You know, what was it? Oscar Wilde said, right? He said, be yourself, everyone else is taken. Be yourself. When you start something, you have those cheerleaders around you, don't you? Yay, you'll be great, this will be wonderful, it'll be fabulous, you got this. And then you have those other people, you know, the naysayers, the people like, what are you thinking? Are you out of your mind? You can't do this. You're too old or you're too short or you're too whatever, right? I mean, they will be there as well. Yeah, ignore them. Some people will not like what you are doing. Some people will not like what you are starting. The hell with them. You know, I mean, you just got to do what you do. Some people will not like you. I mean, it, just that, right? It happens. I know, it's weird, isn't it, right? Oh, well. You know, I'm not everybody's cup of tea. Did you know that? I mean, there are some people that are just like, no. It's going to happen. Just do it anyway. Just do your truth. Just do it. Just walk through that intention. Just do it, right? And in Matthew it said, when Jesus went into the temple, right, drove out all of those who bought and sold at the temple, overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold the doves. He made a wreck of the place. I mean, he really did. He was mad, angry. I'll just leave it at that. And he was not very well received there, was he? I mean, people were very upset by what he did. They did not like him for doing what he did. Just like when we undertake something new, people are not going to like what we have started. Start anyway, right? We can handle whatever the feedback is, while we are being guided and directed by Spirit, right? When we have this calling, when we have this divine urge, we know it is from Spirit, we are being guided and directed, right? We can handle anything. We can handle the criticism. We can handle the naysayers. We can handle the people that say we have no talent or whatever, right? Because we're being guided and directed by Spirit, by this one truth. And I'm going to tell you something. Spirit is never wrong. All right, can we say that together? Spirit is never wrong. Absolutely. Absolutely. Spirit is never wrong. And we will never be misled by answering Spirit's call. You will never follow Spirit and have it wind up a mess. That just won't happen. Now, it may take you places you didn't think you'd go. It may take you places where you're like, what the heck is going on here? What is this all about? It may surprise you, but it will never take you into a mess. It'll never steer you wrong. Now, you can ignore Spirit's call and it winds up a mess. I've had that happen several times, have you? Anybody? Not listen to your higher self and you know, you go into a ditch someplace. It happens. You can ignore it. But when you follow that inspiration, when you follow that grand and glorious intention that Spirit downloaded into you to begin with, you can never go wrong. Ernest Holmes said this. He said, there's one mind that knows everything, and in that mind, it knows us. Therefore, when we accept its guidance and we are compelled to choose rightly and act upon our choice to acquire those things we have need of, right? You are supplied when you undertake this grand and glorious intention. When you start up something, you are provided with whatever you need for a successful completion. Spirit is forever placing us on the path. It's forever placing us on the path, and we can follow it, Or we can just go hither and yon and go into the ditch, right? Or wind up wherever we go. I would suggest just stick with Spirit's pattern, right? Just stick with it. Just go with that higher thought, that higher calling, you know, because I think it's easy to lose faith in the long view, right? When you set this great and glorious intention and you start doing it and you're listening and it's like, okay, well, where is it? You know, we start getting a little, you know, it's not happening yet. Well, where is it? Well, how come I haven't seen any movement? How come I don't have, you know, millions of dollars in the bank? Why isn't this happening? We can lose faith if it doesn't happen according to our timeline and we don't realize that it's really God's timeline, right? It's easy to lose faith in the long run. Things don't work out the way you think they ought to, or it's taken way too long for something to happen. We start to doubt. We can. I know. Anybody doubt? Anybody? I'm not the only one, right? Things don't go as we think they do. Well, you know, and it's at that point where we can double down, or we can say, well, oh well, I guess that's not God's plan for me. Do you ever hear people say that? Maybe God has something different in mind for me. You know, like, yeah, you always wanted to be a veterinarian, but God made you an accountant. You know? Ernest Holmes said, our divine nature never deserts us. Like the prodigal son, we may wander into far countries of despair, but the divinity within us ever gently urges us back to the center of our true being. It ever reminds us of its presence. If we permit it, the spiritual self will direct every decision with intelligence and make perfect the way before us. Right? This is faith. This is surrendering to that place within us that is universal intelligence. Universal intelligence. Right? And I'm here to tell you that Spirit does not want something for you you don't want for yourself. Right? What does the universe say? What do we say the universe says all the time? The universe says yes. Say that. The universe says yes. The universe says yes all the time. All the time. We can try something. We can set an intention. We can run up against maybe a barrier or a challenge or something and go, oh, well, guess that's not for me. Or we can find a way through it, around it, under it, over it, whatever, right? You don't try something just like once or twice, like, oh, well, give up. That's it. It's not for me. It's not in the cards. Oh, well, what are you going to do? Right? It's like going to the gym once and working out with the weights and going, oh, I guess muscles aren't for me. Oh, well, you know, and then just never going back. Right? You know, it's easy to lose faith, but here's where we double down on it. Right? When there is a challenge, when things don't seem like they're coming together, when things look like they're getting harder to do or they're taking longer than we thought they should, right? That's our choice. It's our choice to abandon them or to double down on them right there, right? We can do this. We're always at choice, just like the Palm Sunday story, right? Jesus stood at the gates and was like, yep, I'm going in. Fully committed, right? Fully committed. And that's what we do. We double down on that commitment we made to manifest that intention we set for ourselves. Lean into our strengths. One of the ways we do it, we lean into our strengths. You know, a lot of times when we're taking on something new, it's not about what we cannot do, but it's about what we can do at first. What kinds of things having to do with that intention can we do? We can do some of it really, really well, I'm sure, already. It's about what we do well. That comes naturally to us. What we're good at, that comes naturally to us. And then those other skills will come into play as we continue down that road. Continue down that commitment. Those other skills will be acquired by us when we need them. Because this was your divine calling. Because this was spiritual download into you to do what that thing is that you're doing. Ernest Holmes said this. He said, if we believe that God is substance, then we believe that substance, which is God, manifests to us daily as supply. What if that supply is what we call a house, a car, a suit of clothes, money to which to pay the rent or whatnot? Substance is one end, supply is the other. Substance is cause, supply is the effect. And we are so constituted that each one of us has direct access to limitless substance. Therefore, may become a channel for infinite supply. Do you see how that works? When we are convinced that God is substance and God is cause, and that we are in alignment with that, that manifests as supply. But we have to start. We have to start that process rolling. We have to do that. Even if you feel like you're not good enough or smart enough or young enough, or how many, who's not enough? Like, yeah, who has a not enoughness, right? You're not prepared. You're not what? Yell it out. Not educated enough, or not good enough, you know, not something enough, not educated enough, not you know, no initials after your name or whatever it is, right? We all have a version of not enoughness, right? And we can let that stop us from this big, gigantic intention we set for ourselves. We feel too scared or too old or too short, too stuck. Maybe. Oh, I can't change now. I mean, gee, I lived 2/3 of my life. Who cares? Do it anyway. Start anyway. Well, you know, it's like, well, yeah, but, you know, oh my God, it's going to take me 5 years to manifest this. Well, where are you going to be in 5 years anyway? Where are you going to be? You're still going to be there in 5 years, right? Start anyway. Grab up whatever faith you have and start. And if you feel unprepared or you feel alone or you feel unequipped, if you feel like you can't do it anyway, right? Do it anyway, just like Jesus walked into Jerusalem, maybe knowing what was to come, maybe not, I don't know, but committed to his path, committed to the path. We have to believe. We have to commit to our path. We have to follow our path and never doubt, not for a minute. We start from where we are, in faith, in trust, in truth. Just start. Just start. It's Spirit's call for you to do what is in front of you to do. Do it. I want to end with this quote from Ernest Holmes, because I love, love, love it. If you read nothing else in the Science of Mind textbook, I want you to just read this one. I want you to commit it to memory, put it up on the mirror in your bathroom. It's on page 282. I think it continues over to 283. And Ernest Holmes said, stay with the one and never deviate from it. Never leave it for a moment. Nothing, nothing else can equal this attitude. To desert the truth in the hour of need is to prove that we do not know the truth. When things look their worst, that is the supreme moment to demonstrate to ourselves that there are no obstructions to the operation of truth. When things look the worst is the best time to work, the most satisfying time. The person who can throw him or herself with complete abandon into the limitless sea of receptivity, having cut loose all apparent moorings, is the one who will always receive the greatest reward. What a fabulous quote that is. I love it. I just say it to myself a lot. Pin it up to on my dashboard. Just start. Just start. Spirit will do the rest. Spirit will do through you the rest of the work. Thank you.